This week's edition of our Four Questions Journalist Spotlight is brought to you by the Atlanta Wing Fest, coming April 18th to Uptown Atlanta. Go to AtlantaWingFest.com for more details. Welcome to the next edition of our Four Questions Journalist Spotlight. We are talking today with Beth McKibben, who has a new job with Rough Draft Atlanta. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about how she got there and her role at Rough Draft. But first, good morning, Beth.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we get into the Rough Draft, you spent a lot of years at Eater Atlanta, right?
Yes.
And I hesitate to say how many years. It seems like it's probably, I'll probably say longer than it is, right?
It was 6 years. Okay. So yeah, I started in 2017, right at the end of 2017. So it was almost exactly six. Well, it was a little over 6 years when I left. So yeah.
And what was your background? Had you done food writing before that? Was that part of your background coming into that?
Yeah. So before I got the job at Eater, I had actually been freelancing with Eater for quite some time before that, under Chris Vermeister and Sonia Chopra. But I had also been freelancing for several years, mostly on the cocktail and beverage side and historic food side of the business. So that was kind of my background. So I freelanced for a number of years prior to actually getting the permanent position. I was the cocktail writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for a number of years, and written for Atlanta Magazine, several national publications, that sort of thing. So this was kind of my beat when I came on. Most people at that time knew me more as the cocktail writer, but I also had delved into food too.
So was that a plan to get into, to become a food and beverage writer? Was it, yeah, it's like, okay, when you were 10 years old, you said, I want to go to bars and write about the things I drink.
No, I think you kind of fall into this line of work. you definitely have to enjoy what you're doing. And there are different facets of being a food writer, because a lot of people think, oh, all you do is review restaurants. Well, that's just one facet of food writing. For instance, I'm not Christiane Lauterbach. She is a critic. That is her job as a food writer. And there are people that are investigative journalists that deal in, you know, food. And then there are people that, you know, simply do feature stories about food, restaurants, chefs, that sort of thing. So the beat at Eater was kind of similar to what I'm doing at Rough Draft now, which is I'm not doing as many guides, like food guides and maps, obviously, here. But we delved into everything from politics and fun food guides to restaurant feature stories and, you know, you name it, investigative reporting, that kind of thing. So it was all kind of basically it was a news outlet that dealt with Atlanta food. And so that's kind of what you see a lot of what the mainstream publications in Atlanta do when they talk about food. It's a lot of that mixture of fun, you know, easy lift kind of guides to food and restaurants, as well as a little bit harder hitting news stories.
Yeah. And I guess the AJC tends not, I guess I don't see that kind of investigative food reporting, right? I mean, I guess they used to do like kind of a restaurant review thing. Do they still do that?
They still do restaurant reviews. I think they're not doing as many as they used to, and that could be a number of reasons. It could be that there's just not that many new restaurants that they feel need to be reviewed. But they do have a couple of restaurant people on the beat that do cover restaurant reviews. So they still do them. They stopped doing the starred reviews for a while because of the pandemic, and they felt it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a level playing field, but now I think they're back to doing some starred reviews.
But enough about them. Let's talk about you. They can get. They can, we'll do a podcast. We did one with LaGaia a couple of years ago. We'll come back. We'll come back to her. So what's your title and your role at Rough Draft now?
My title now is a senior editor, and I'm overseeing their food and dining coverage. So I also help a little bit on the reporting side with other folks, but my main beat right now is just the food and dining. I just started a couple of months ago, so I'm still ramping up.
So how does what you're doing for Rough Draft differ from what you're doing for Eater or Desert?
Oh, well, I mean, mostly the daily cadence of the rhythm of reporting that I do. I'm not necessarily doing 2, 3, 4 stories or guides or maps a day. I'm doing more like one story a day, and I'm being able to focus a little bit more on deeper reporting, a little bit more time spent with the storytelling aspect, which I really enjoy. So it's pretty much the same types of, mostly on the news side, it's pretty much the same openings, closings, some investigative stuff, a little bit deeper dives into culinary, like cuisines and things like that. But I'm able to spend a little bit more time on things the way I want them, you know, the way I wanted to at Eater, which wasn't always possible because you had to have so many stories. You had to keep the site populated. And that's not something we do at Rough Draft. It's a little bit more news driven and definitely a lot more focused on the local community.
And are you more geographically focused than Eater? Atlanta was obviously right. Atlanta. Rough Draft has some specific geographic areas. So right. Are you kind of, I don't want to say restricted, but are you focused on just the areas that Rough Draft covers, or are you kind of blur the edges a little bit?
I would definitely say I haven't really strayed too far from the boundaries that I had at Eater, just because I think everybody in Atlanta who's lived here for more than 5 minutes knows that sometimes you have to travel to go eat. And it's like not a big deal if you're like, all right, well, I got to go to Norcross. Well, that's outside our coverage zone. But people are like, I'm going to Norcross. I'm going to go eat because I want to go to this one restaurant. So I tend to keep the boundaries pretty loose because, again, like Metro Atlanta, who knows where Metro Atlanta begins and ends at this point. So,
yeah, it's either 5 counties or 20 counties, right?
Exactly. Or the whole state. I don't know. So, yeah.
We'll get there. We're slowly taking over. Let's let Atlanta take over North Georgia and then worry about the rest
right,
of the state.
Right.
So if someone has a, you know, something they think, hey, this is a great story for Beth, what's the criteria that they should check off in their head before they do that to make sure that it really is a good story for Beth?
I mean, honestly, I think just making sure that there is a local angle to it. I mean, we get pitched with things that a lot of other outlets are getting pitched for in terms of trends and things like that. But when I'm thinking about the Atlanta area, I'm thinking about the readership and what my readers really want. And each readership is different for each publication. So you have to think about who your readers are, what they're really interested in, what they're jazzed about. Like, we'll get people calling or writing in asking, can you write about this? Can you write about that? Can you talk about this more? You know, that sort of thing. So I listen to my readers a lot. And I, you know, so like we've been getting a lot of people over the last month asking us to do a lot more vegan coverage because that is a huge part of the culinary scene in Atlanta. It always has been, to be honest. So I've been working on some stories over the last month regarding vegan dining, just because that has become such a huge part of what our scene is all about right now.
Yeah, we used to do some work for a local pizza baker, and we got them into veganuary for a couple of years. You know, when they
right,
you know, that whole January go vegan for a month kind of thing, and you know right, they had, yeah, a lot of pizza places have vegan options. You use vegan cheese and vegan
right,
you know, whatever, not, right, no meat, all that kind of stuff. so, but what? So as I always, like to ask it, you know, as much as here are the things that that should be in the pitch, what are some no's? It's like, don't pitch me if your restaurant is, or your eatery is this. And obviously far outside Metro Atlanta, right? That's going to be one.
Well,
right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're pitching me something that is not really Atlanta focused, I'm probably not going to pick it up. But as far as like when we get press releases and we get pitched from writers, I mean, most of the time, I'll have to say the majority of the press releases that I received are very Atlanta focused because the people that are well known and well established and know who I am know what they're pitching to me. They're not just randomly throwing out a pitch to like millions of folk and being like, I'll see what hits. So I will say that our PR people here are really good about like knowing who their audience is and knowing who their writers, the writers they want to pitch specific stories to. But yeah, I would definitely say if it's like the seventh Chipotle, I'm probably not picking that story up because really, but yeah, I think the big thing is just making sure that it's got a really good angle for the Atlanta audience. I mean, this is a, you know, Rough Draft is a hyper-local publication. We deal very community, we're a very community-driven news organization. So most of the things that we're covering are impacting people within those communities directly. It's not, you know, yeah, they might be excited that a seventh Chipotle is coming to their you know, neighborhood, but frankly, they're more interested in what this local chef is doing or why this local restaurant that they've loved for so long is closing, you know, that sort of thing. They don't really have the same interests that I think my eater audience was a little bit different because we did have a more, we had a national scope as well as a local scope. So while we were definitely a local publication, our reach was a lot more national than Rough Draft. So Rough Draft is like, I live here, I eat here, I want to know what's going on here.
Is it true that Keith Pepper wants to start Rough Draft America to go national? Is that true? I heard that.
I have no idea.
Can you confirm that?
I cannot confirm that. I am like, if Keith's going to start something, he has not said that to me.
Well, you can, I mean, the Rough Draft has some, you know, great, I mean, there's, I think there's a newsletter every day there, and there's one mm-hmm. that's focused on food and dining, right? Which, what's yeah. that one called?
Side Dish.
Side Dish, right, right.
Yes. Okay. And that comes out on Thursday afternoons at 4 o'clock.
So if you don't subscribe to that, you should go click on, I'll put the link somewhere in there and go click on that and subscribe to that, and you'll get that in your feeds. Are there some kind of topics or restaurants that kind of on your radar that you haven't gotten to yet, or kind of issues in the industry in Atlanta that you think, okay, I gotta get to this. And you've only been there a few months, so you probably have a long list of things like that, right?
I have a list. I mean, there's always a list. I think the big things that I'm really kind of focused on right now are, like I said, the vegan scene. I know we've got readers that are really kind of interested in that aspect of our dining. But I think the other thing we're really kind of keying in, I'm trying to key into a little bit more, is the economic aspect of dining out. A lot of people are very concerned about how expensive food is becoming. Dining out is being severely impacted by that. A lot of people will cut that out, you know, first because it's an easy thing for them to cut out. For a lot of people, dining is their form of entertainment, and to be able to have to say you have to cut that out or cut it down is, it's hard for a lot of folks. You know, I'm trying to look at ways that we can talk about the impact, you know, the economic impact of dining, not just on the diner itself, but on restaurants, because they're also dealing with rising food costs. So we've got a lot of that going on. There's just a lot, like, I really want to focus in on those types of things and really, again, continue my work on, you know, showcasing the diversity of the scene that we have. That I think is truly underappreciated by everyone who does not live in Atlanta or Metro Atlanta.
I mean, I I've been in Atlanta for 45 years or so, and I mean, just the food scene here, it's just incredible. I mean, it's just, I
Yeah.
just, you could eat somewhere great every single day of the week if you wanted to.
You could. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people that move here and actually stay here don't really realize until they've actually gotten out there and done more than just dining within their neighborhood. They start to realize, wow, this is actually a really awesome area and like a really awesome part of the country to be, you know, a diner in. So I think that that's kind of always been my mission, is always trying to make Atlanta shine the way it needs to shine, because there's so much talent here in the restaurants. And that's not just in the city, that's outside the city as well. I mean, this is a sprawling metropolitan area of what, 6 million people.
At
So
least.
think about the number of restaurants that we have, and you know, it's a lot of restaurants, thousands of restaurants. So
6 million people and 3 million restaurants, right?
yeah, I mean, right. They're all right here. So, I mean, but yeah, you know, that's Atlanta. I mean, you know, they always say Atlanta influences everything. I mean, it truly does. And I think it definitely influences the South. So, you know, it's just been, Atlanta's a fun, place to cover food wise. It's also frustrating. So, because you do have to go and, you know, kind of, you have to really look at the scene as a whole and not just specific things or specific people, because that doesn't actually do the city or the Metro Atlanta area justice. There's so much here. There's so much here.
All right, so let me jump to the most challenging question I always ask folks is, what's the coolest thing about Beth that people might not know?
There's really nothing cool about me. I mean, honestly, like the coolest thing, oh my Lord.
And sometimes I'll tell people it could be a hobby, it could be something you collect, a talent. People.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I think I mean, I didn't go to school originally to do what I'm doing. I went to school to be for music, and I'm a classically trained singer. My mother is now retired, but she was an opera singer and a classically trained musician as well. So that might be something interesting.
All right. So I'll give you an option for this next one. Last book you've read or the last podcast you've listened to that doesn't have the name Rough Draft associated with it. And don't have to be a long answer, just kind of a quick answer of what the either the title of the book or the podcast is.
I actually am almost finished with a book called Femina, which is a history of women through the Middle Ages that have kind of been overlooked or written out. So it's breaking down like stereotypes associated with women during this age, that they were kind of like silent and demure, and kind of lifting those voices up. And I'm a big history buff, so this kind of speaks to the kinds of books that I read, very nonfiction, very, probably very dry for some people, but for me, it's really interesting. But there, you know, this book in particular delves into the women of the Middle Ages, like Saint Hildegard, who was a Benedictine abbess and wrote, was a scholar. And then they were talking about women in Norse regions and how much more they were. They were also warriors and leaders, and people may not know that because they were kind of written out. So that's what I'm reading right now.
Okay. Favorite guilty pleasure?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. That's a hard one, because I don't feel like you should feel guilty about anything that you love to do. I mean, to be honest with you, my guilty pleasure, if it could be called guilty, is traveling.
Okay.
I mean, honestly,
All right.
and also ordering room service.
Oh, see,
So
there you go. That's a guilty pleasure. Okay. Favorite local getaway? And when I
I
say
mean,
local, I mean kind of Georgia. No,
is
Georgia.
that like Georgia?
Georgia.
Okay.
Let's go with Georgia.
Okay, I would say Savannah. I love Savannah. I love the city. I love the vibe there. I love the food, the people. It's just really got a special energy, and I love that city.
All right. And favorite non-work hobby?
I mean, honestly, like anything to do with history. I love thrifting clothes. I love antiquing, and I love to garden. So.
Okay. And I intentionally skipped one of my usual questions, which is your favorite local restaurant, because I don't want you to get in trouble. I can't ask a food. I can't ask a food writer that question, because be like, can't pick this. Can't play favorites.
But that's no. That would definitely have been a no comment.
Right. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to mention about what you're doing at Rough Draft that people should know about?
Not really. I mean, honestly, like, I just hope people are reading and subscribing to the daily newsletter. Rough Draft comes out with a kind of a daily digest or a morning digest of all the latest news. And it's very well written and very, it's a crafted, curated, newsletter of all sorts of things that are going on. It's not just links to stories. I mean, it's linked to stories, but there are, you know, our editors are writing these little blurbs and blocks about what, you know, folks should be interested in. We had someone recently say, this is like getting my morning newspaper in my email, in my inbox. And I think that's a really great way of looking at that type of newsletter. It's just a little bit of a, hey, everything I need to know right here. So it's, you know, every day is going to be something different. We have newsletters like mine, which are the daily dining newsletter or the Thursday dining newsletter, which I delve into more than just like the recent stories I've been covering, but it might be a hot tip that I've come in, you know, contact with, what I've been eating, when I've been out researching for stories, that, you know, if you're a subscriber, you're going to get that first before somebody is going to get that reading the site. So, and we've got another one that deals with movies and entertainment. I mean, there's one that deals with senior citizens and their lifestyles in Atlanta. So it's really, I like what Keith Pepper is doing with the newsletters. I think that it's so focused on the community, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I shifted from Eater to a more local publication.
So I get just, I think I should take the opportunity. Let me run through the list of newsletters just so folks know. So we've got Scene, which is about film. We've got Side Dish about food, Silver Streak about seniors, Sketchbook about art, Stacks about books. And the new one is called Yala about the Jewish community. And then the newspapers hit, see, Brookhaven, Buckhead, Sandy Springs, Dunwoody, and Atlanta, Atlanta in town.
Yep.
Colin will kill me if I forget Atlanta in town. Right?
Yeah. Shout out to Colin Kelly. He's a lifer. Colin's awesome.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Beth. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. We've been talking with Beth McKibben, who has just recently started with Rough Draft Atlanta. Catch her at roughdraftatlanta.com. Look for the Side Dish newsletter. Click subscribe to that. And if you are looking for our next journalist spotlight, come back in 2 weeks and we'll have another one. And as always, you can go to YouTube or our website and find the archive of lots and lots and lots of these we've done over the years. If you are looking for our database of Atlanta media, Lefts Atlanta Media, go to leftsatlantamedia.com. And wherever you see this podcast on Apple or YouTube or wherever, hit the subscribe button and you'll be in the loop. Excellent. Beth, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much.